the Premier League on OTB.
Rashford thinks it into Cavani! Edison Cavani wins it!
Exclusive Premier League live commentaries every Sunday. The very best expert analysis on your phone and for free. Download the OTB Sports app now.
And you're welcome back to Off the Ball here on News Talk for your Sunday afternoon. John Duggan with you until 7, sitting in for Joe Malloy. So we're joined over the next hour by the Dundalk manager Vinnie Purse and the Irish Times soccer correspondent Gavin Comiskey to reflect upon the Republic of Ireland's 1-1 draw against Azerbaijan last night and build up to the Serbia game. Listeners, we want to get involved. 53106 on the text number for a cost of 30 cents. Here's a couple. Carabag played top Euro football yearly. Our senior pros are mid-table Premiership Championship. Youth needs time. Very few alternative players available, especially in attack. Build for the Euros. Houghton flopping at Forest and Big Sam could want double a salary for no future outlook. And folks, Ireland need a top-class holding midfielder and another top-class creative midfielder to link midfield to the forwards. And a forward. We two of three in Rice and Grealish, but we know what happened there. We don't have anywhere near a top-class striker. Get rid of Stephen Kenny and hire Jesus. We need miracles, says Noel. Finney and Gavin, how are we doing?
Very good. How are you? How's it going?
Good, lads. You were there last night, the pair of you. What was the mood music on the ground? A lot of negativity, but you're going to get the extremities of social media and Twitter and texts. And we do have some different viewpoints today and some really insightful viewpoints from the audience. But how was it in the ground, Finney?
Interesting, because obviously being so close to Stephen, I watched that part of it very closely before the game. When his name was announced as such, it was a very good reaction to him, particularly the crowd at the back of the goal. They were outstanding throughout the game. So there was a very good reaction to him, to the team. I felt there was a bit of a feel-good factor going into the game. And I was very conscious just to see how that all played out. So I felt the mood on the night was good by and large. And to be fair, a lot of the fans stuck with the team because they had that little bit of pressure towards the end to try and get the equaliser and then ultimately the winner. So I think we live in a world now where, you know, everything is instant, you know, hire Jesus and stuff like that. But it's still a comment people are willing to throw out. It's just nonsensical. We have to make key decisions over the next six months, of course. But look, I felt like people were behind him in the stadium last night. Obviously, there would have been a certain amount of people who, no matter what happens, will be against the manager, no matter who it is. But I felt there was a positive element too around the game last night. Obviously, that changed at the end a little bit, to be fair. But by and large, I felt you get, particularly that singing section, that's made up a lot of people who support League of Ireland football, but also real football people, I would say. I felt they were very much behind the manager and the team. Whether their opinion has changed after last night's result, that's different. But by and large, I thought the mood was very good. And it was actually, Aviva is a very cold place, I would say. Maybe it's because we at Dundalk go there most November and it's freezing. But it was a really good evening. It was a great evening for football. And it was a real sort of enjoyable occasion. Obviously, we wanted a better result. So that would be my synopsis of it.
Apart from the cold conditions, Gavin, what was the temperature that you took from what you saw?
Well, the fact that there was 2,000 tickets still going before kickoff tells its own story. And it'd be interesting to see if they can get 25,000 sold for Serbia. I thought maybe they'd sell out Serbia off the back of the Portuguese performance, but if there's any left now, you know. There was people up in the old West Upper, there was people leaving before Shane Duffy's equaliser, which was kind of, yeah, of course they're fair weather fans, but they no longer cared really whether it was Ireland going to snatch a draw or lose. So that was interesting to watch. I thought the crowd in general wanted to be led by the team and by the players. And in the first, from the national anthem, and you saw Kenny's reaction after the anthem, he really felt like he was involved in something special, and this special moment for him as Ireland manager. And for 15 minutes, the crowd stayed with them and they were getting up and really building into it. And it looked like we were going to have one of those special crowd nights. And then everything, because they lost their rhythm in that 15 to 20 minutes until Azerbaijan start creating chances, the crowd just went silent. You could see people didn't come back after halftime that quickly. It wasn't like a Kenny out, or it wasn't the boos at the end were kind of a smattering. It wasn't heavy. I think actually the worst thing about it was they were quite sympathetic, which nobody wants to hear, you know.
And possibly apathetic as well.
Yeah.
Did he get the selection right, Vinny? Did he get the tactics right?
For me, that's a huge question. I would have to say, from a coaching perspective, look, this is a difficult situation for me to be in terms of commenting on Stephen because of there's a real friendship there. But I had warning signs going into the game. I think the Luxembourg, I was on the show in the morning with the guys after the Luxembourg game. And albeit the performance yesterday was a lot better than the Luxembourg one, there were same errors in the team selection or the shape of the team that I seen. I think the three, and I have to be careful because I don't want to go on too much of those systems, but we played with a 3-4-2-1 shape, okay? We've used that at home and quite a couple of occasions. But at home, it doesn't lend itself to speed and power and a counter-attacking or even attacking at real pace. And that's my issue with it. We have a coach in Anthony Barry who works with Thomas Tuchel at Chelsea, and they play that system. And that system is a really good system, and I really like it. But you think of Chelsea's two number 10s, you've got Mason Mount and Ziyech or Havertz, whoever it is. We don't have that yet, okay? And away from home, we've seen the quality of Jamie McGrath's passing against Portugal. We've seen the shape of Aaron Connolly. He didn't play brilliantly, but he was a threat on the counter-attack. But at home, we went with Troy Parrott and Aaron Connolly in that position. And we ran out of ideas, as Gavin said, after the first 15 minutes. And I think that's partly down to the shape of the team. I don't think we're good enough to play that 3-4-2-1 shape and dominate teams at home who are equal to us or of a lesser standard. And I have to be honest and think that was an error. Going into the game. I don't know where Callum Robinson was because we're not privy to that information. He had COVID. But it was a night for, particularly with the crowd up and all of them things, it was a night for our fullbacks. It was a night for our wingers to go and get at them. And to be fair, in the last two games, Adam Ida has been our best player. But he was so isolated last night in his running down the sides of people I think the shape of the team was partly responsible for that.
When I think of Ireland playing the 8th ranked team in the world, Gavin, in Portugal, and then the 112th ranked team in Azerbaijan, and I see defenders scoring both times, John Egan and Shane Duffy, that kind of explains to me the gap that we lose and then we can only draw because we don't have a top class international striker or even an international striker that can deliver a modicum of goals.
Well, that Stephen Kenny has to nail his selection every time. And while he deserves enormous praise for the team he put out against Portugal, like, for example, he didn't go to Troy Paris, and it worked, paid off, that team performed for him and that system performed for him. But by saying that, you have to also say he got it very badly wrong last night. And the funny thing is, Kenny will live and die by his selections. And Jamie McGrath is someone who he has brought through and spoken about as a natural number 10, and nobody would have probably put him into the Ireland squad if not only for Kenny, even though he was doing well at St Mirren, and people would know him from League of Ireland backgrounds. But Jamie McGrath, maybe he was drained from the other night, but he was just the way he performed against Portugal was so teed up perfectly for him to be the creative force. Troy Parrott, Kenny defended that selection afterwards by saying he plays in that position for MK Dons. But he was anonymous. At one stage, about 10 minutes before halftime, I said, okay, I'm going to actually just watch Troy Parrott and see what's happening. And it actually wasn't his fault. Well, for starters, he's 19 years old and he's still learning how to play such a crucial, pivotal role in international football, even against Azerbaijan. Didn't work out. I thought the wings were too clogged. He had Ida in front of him. He had Malumphy coming up from behind him. And the game didn't break for him. And for him to be successful, they needed the guy wearing number 10 for the game to break for him last night. He got it wrong with Aaron Connolly, and he admitted as much by putting Darragh Horgan on at halftime. And that's a blow for anybody, especially someone like Connolly, who just literally cannot buy a goal at the moment. He had the chances that you want a striker or a centre-forward to get, centre-forward, winger. Didn't happen for him. Just on that point, the worst thing is the best chances fell to fullbacks. Matt Doherty and Seamus Coleman had real chances, and gotta say it, they blew them.
Yeah, just on Gavin's point there, the other one he hasn't mentioned is Alan Brown and his form in the last 18 months for Preston. Now again, he's had COVID, and that's why he's been a close contact or whatever. We don't know how fit he was, and that's part of the problem in terms of discussing other managers' team selections. But Alan Brown as a natural number 10 is someone that I just think at home was a huge blow not having him in there. And even when you it's very simplistic to put it this way, but when Jason Malumbi was at loan at Preston, he played quite a lot. But if it was the decision for between him and Alan Brown, Alan Brown played. And it's quite a simplistic way of putting it, but I just feel the likes of Alan Brown in that 10 position, maybe Jamie McGrath coming out of the Portugal game, I could understand him being left out. But that's where, for me, it was about a system error last night. And Alan Brown, I think, in that number 10 would have given us a huge threat. So that's where I completely agree with Gavin. It's just to throw Alan Brown into that mix in that position was a huge blow.
That you're spot on, Vinny. And the thing is that the frustrating thing about that is Brown was used. Brown did come on, you know. Callum Robinson again had COVID, but he did come on. So if you're able to give 15, 20 minutes in an international, you know, you shouldn't have any kind of signs of having COVID, you know, or your injury. I know Brown had an injury as well. But the fact that he did turn to them, look, I think this result could be really damaging in the long term because Serbia looks so impressive. Only scored a sort of goals against Luxembourg. And I can't see us getting a draw. Like a draw is a result against Serbia on Tuesday night. So this result is going to... This is going to haunt... This is going to come back to haunt Kenny at the end of this when there's talks of a contract where his contract extension happens next summer. He's going to need... God, they're going to have to take points off Portugal at home, or they're going to have to.
As the good feeling around Portugal gone now, Gavin. Then, when the FAI are thinking to themselves, are we going to back a long term project here and forget about the campaign? And we see the progress of Stephen Kenny. Are we back into this being in the mix now?
No. Yes. On the outside, yes. But that doesn't really. The only thing that matters is the players, and I imagine the players know why they didn't hit the heights themselves last night. And imagine them, a lot of them know it's because of this failure that had been marked months in advance because of the Luxembourg game gone. It's very hard for these guys who are not playing regular football in the Championship, even or League One, to get exposure, to recover and play three games in 6 days. But I'd say they know that they can probably go to the other level and get a result against Serbia. And maybe there's a master plan here. He was going to go hell for leather against Portugal. We try and scrape a win against Azerbaijan and go hell for leather again against Serbia, which indicates then that he'll go very close back to the team that performed on the Algarve. So the players are out and they're tweeting a lot about how they're taking responsibility themselves. And that's quite evident. Like the FAI retweeted Shane Duffy saying this, that it's on us as the players. But they are playing, I feel, for like another... They really are this and then going to Azerbaijan next month. They are playing for Kenny's job for him, you know, because even though everyone wants... Well, I'd say a lot of people, majority, maybe a lot of ex-internationals don't see Richard Dunne and Paul McGrath coming out, but that's par for the course. That happens, come out against an Ireland manager. But there has to be something. There has to be this Portuguese performance. The players have to be able to prove that they can replicate that on Tuesday. They have to be able to do it away in Azerbaijan. Otherwise, it becomes increasingly difficult for what everyone wants is the long-term plan of Stephen Kenny getting a real belt at a European Championships where Ireland should really, with these guys in a year's time, should really qualify. Definitely, you know. But it's about this team now. If they want him as manager, they got to literally get results to keep him because as much as they're taking responsibility for themselves, it has to be on Kenny because he does pick the team and he does put the tactics out. And there's no way to wait for it. So as brilliant as the Algarve was, and I was there, and it was a thrilling atmosphere, and it was an unbelievable performance by so many players. Like Matt Doherty was a good example of him performing at left wing back to put the bed, seemed to put the bed that whole thing. And then we have himself and Coleman try to mix and match on the right, which didn't work. So it does come back to the manager again. And I feel like these players they have to perform or that man will not be their manager in a year's time.
Well, I think that some of the ex-pros would have been fans of Mick. That's what I was. So I don't know if it's every manager, but I'm just interested in this results argument, Vinny. You know, you're a manager. You know what results do in terms of confidence. There's a feeling out there that we have to get results and that will then bring confidence within the team. And that will then act as a domino for future performances. do the people who say we got to just get the results first and then worry about the plan and the performances have a point?
I would say no. By and large, I would say no, because we had to change something from where we were 18 months ago. It wasn't pretty, it wasn't nice on the eye, and it wasn't good. So we do have to change something. And we've said about, we've gone down this path with Steven, and I think it's just too early to cast judgment on it, but we live in an instant world where everybody has these opinions and everyone is writing articles or blogs or on podcasts, etc., etc. And it's great that football is spoken about so highly, but it creates another problem where there's people under pressure to make decisions. For me, there was no way in 2 years' time we were going to see a huge change in Ireland results. We've seen it with Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland in particular, rebuild themselves over the last 10 or 15 years. And they started to see some of the fruits of that. Northern Ireland seen it under Michael O'Neill. He also put other processes in place below the first team level that we haven't certainly done. Wales had it, got to a semi-final European Championships and had some difficult results. And the same with Scotland, some really dark years. And they are, with the exception of Northern Ireland, they would have better structures in terms of players' availability to them than we would have. So I just don't think we can switch from everybody saying after the Portugal game, gives not everybody, but vast majority of people saying, give Steven a new contract. And then almost 72 hours later say, you know, you need Jesus Christ to come back and save us. It can't be as black and white as that. We're going to have to take a medium-term decision eventually in Irish football, because all we've done for the last 20 years is just take short-term appointments and not try and fix football in Ireland. And this is just a massive opportunity to fix it. And ultimately, whether Stephen's the right man or not, that will play itself out over the next 6 months, 9 months, 2 years. But we can't be just taking roughshod decisions after one game or two games. One goes for us, one goes against us. We've got to take a long-term view of it, I feel.
Look, I'm not a manager of any of you, much more experience than I do about this. The reason why I said in articles for OTB and on yesterday on the show, and I still maintain this, is because if you say that Stephen Kenny, we're going to give you until the end of the Euros, I think that's a fair assessment when you have 24 teams in Germany, and when you have results, then you'll have enough time with the players, and then you can be judged on completely with the results, unless it turns into a Steve Staunton's type situation with his managerial tenure, and I don't think we're at that yet. I think there are many factors at play here that are bigger than Stephen Kenny. The fact that the FAI had it emerged that they weren't financially run as a going concern. The fact that there's not much state investment in football, which is the biggest participated sport in the country. When you have horse racing and greyhound racing, horse racing is under the Department of Agriculture. They get millions a year because they're seen as an industry. Football is not seen as an industry in this country. You have the global aspect of the Premier League now, which is making it harder for young Irish players to live the dream and succeed as they would have done in the 80s, 90s and noughties. So there are many things at play here, and I just kind of feel that taking the uncertainty out of Stephen's position and the build will surely help everybody going forward that, no, we're sticking to this. Because at the moment, I think there's a lot of hankering back to Jack's days and Mick's days and being at the tournaments and being on the jolly, and the expectations are not in touch with reality.
Can I jump in on that, John, before Gavin comes in? I just watched Wales and Belarus today, okay? The game was in the balance. Wales didn't play well, and Gareth Barry scored a hat-trick, get Wales over the line in a 3-2 win. Okay? That made me think, because we don't have a Gareth Bale, we're trying to find the next one. We thought it was Troy Parrott, and maybe it will be in time, etc., etc. It made me think, before I came on the show, and I had a look at Jay, okay? After four games, Armenia are top of the group, Germany are second, North Macedonia are third on 7 points, Romania are fourth, Iceland are fifth, and Liechtenstein are sixth. So that's a huge seismic change in European world football, if you think of that group. Armenia on top, Germany second, North Macedonia, Romania, and then Iceland. And remember, we were all looking at Iceland a few years ago. How did they do what they've done? All of these countries have been investing in systems and investing on new coaches, etc., etc. Something that we just don't do. And I'm not trying to get away from Stephen Kenny. I think you made a huge point. We need to take out the uncertainty and get appoint them into the European Championships and make it a medium-term view of it. Make sure it's very clear he's going to be a manager. And yes, if we completely fall off the rails and we aren't capable of winning matches, then we get rid of him, okay? But for now, we need that security. And we must start learning from our mistakes. Brexit, for example, happened 5 years the FAI have known Brexit was coming. And more or less, we haven't invested a red cent into underage football. Yes, there's some great work going on, and we're seeing some good play. We haven't invested a red cent into real money into underage football. So, do people think North Macedonia just turned up at the Euros and it happened overnight? It was an 8 and 9 year project. Azerbaijan have something like 26 full-time coaches on average associated with each of their academies. In Ireland, the average is zero. There's only 6 people full-time employed to all the league one clubs as an academy coach. There's only 6 full-time staff, according to the FAI's figures. So our average is actually less than zero. And Azerbaijan's is 26. So you know, unless you...
I hope everyone's listening to what you're saying. It's right on the money. But at the same time, we can't blame John Delaney for what happened last night. Can't blame the Irish government for what happened last night. And for all the stuff that the development needs to happen and everything you're saying, like, it would be a dream come true. And it's been something that people have been banging their head against for years. But the fact remains, we can't blame the defeats to the performances against Luxembourg and Azerbaijan for the historical past. I know it's connected, but we have to go back to, like, this whole Stephen Kenny project cannot survive if he keeps with these kind of results. Like, he still hasn't got a competitive win. He's got 4 qualifying matches to go now between now and the middle of November. And, like, 2 of them are, you'd be very surprised if we got draws. The other 2 are away from home. He needs 2 wins here, at minimum, you know.
Yeah, but
a spectacular result against one of the big boys. Otherwise, it's very hard to stay with him and to support what so many people want him to do, want to get him to get this team that he had at under 21s and bring them to another level. Which he can do, and I think he does have the ability to do it, but he can't make any more mistakes against teams like Azerbaijan and survive.
Yeah, but to be fair, I was critical of Stephen's selections yesterday, and I was critical of against Luxembourg, so I'm not brushing that under the carpet. Why I bring up the point about appointing him as manager for the Euro, so it's not a short term view, is take his under 21s team you speak about, okay. Once we couldn't qualify for Serbia, all of them players should have been told, Ireland were on the brink of qualifying for an under-21 tournament. It should have been all told, Gavin Bazunu, Kevin Kelleher, Malumbi, Ida Conley should have been told, go and concentrate in the 21s. We'll take some pain with our first team and we try and get our 21s to a national international tournament, okay? We take a medium-term view of it. That team was on the brink of achieving something special, but that needed leadership. That needed someone in the FAI to say, stop, Stephen, don't worry about the next 4 or 5 results. Build your team, and we want to get a team qualified as an under-21 team, and we bring them all together on a journey. That's what Iceland would do. That's what Azerbaijan would do. That's what North Macedonia would do. And then when they qualify for tournaments, instead of sitting in the studio going, getting an Icelandic journalist on to ask them, how do you achieve great things? We'd be saying, this is how we done it. We stuck with our 21s. And that's what I'm talking about, Gavin, about leadership. If Stephen makes a mess of this job, he will be fired, and rightly so. Okay? And I'm agreed with that. That's football. That's management. It happened to me 18 months ago. I made a mess of Dundalk. They got rid of me. That's life. You live with it. You cry into your cup of tea and you move on as a manager. But we need leadership as well.
And brought you back, Vinny, so.
Yes. I saw it. Well, somebody saw the light. Yeah.
Go on, Vinny, quickly.
Maybe I'm wrong, feel free, but I just think I'm not talking about long-term plans to try and save Stephen's job here. I'm saying there has to be, all of these things have to come together for a successful international team. We're no longer able to compete at the highest level.
Yeah, you had all that uncertainty in 2005. I covered the campaign about Brian Kerr, and I don't think it helped the team back then. And we saw what happened afterwards with Steve Staunton coming in. Was not the right appointment. So, look, we're going to get the listeners involved as well, 53106. But Gavin Comiskey from the Irish Times and Vinnie Perth are going to be back to you after the break. Just before we go to the break, let's get an update from Croke Park, because there's 10 minutes left in the ladies football final and it's on a knife edge. Meath and Dublin. Cora Staunton.
Yeah, John, it's on a knife edge, surely. It's 1-10 to 10 points here. Meath are a goal up and they just have probably a 30 metre free here from Emma Duggan. It's been an immense second half. Low scoring for the first part of it, but Meath have, you know, held Dublin to, you know, a couple of points, and, you know, they didn't score for the first 10 or 12 minutes themselves, but they've been amazing. Their running game has been amazing. Just as Emma Duggan just misses a free there, so it's still 3 points in it. But Meath's running game, their fitness levels have been amazing. Dublin are still struggling on the kick out, and yeah, the Meath defence have been amazing in this half. Really haven't given Dublin anything, and you know, it's whether they can last the pace of the game. Emma Murray made two substitutions there 2 minutes ago, and were badly needed, and the substitutions had an immediate impact.
Okay, thanks, Cora, for the moment. Dramatic finish in store, surely, at Croke Park between Meath and Dublin in the ladies' football final. Meath 1-10, Dublin 10 points. We're back with Vinnie Perth and Gavin Comiskey after this break to talk about the Republic of Ireland. And you're welcome back to Off the Ball here on News Talk. John Duggan sitting in for John Molloy today until 7. We're joined on Football Hour by Dundalk boss Vinnie Perth and the Irish Times soccer correspondent Gavin Comiskey. So Gavin and Vinnie reflecting upon the Republic of Ireland's 1-1 draw with Azerbaijan. Looking ahead now to Tuesday's game against Serbia, the World Cup qualifier. We're out of it. Effectively, we're gone from the World Cup, but it's really about where we are as a nation and some good points made in the first half of the show. 53106 is the listener number for texts. You can get in touch at the cost of 30 cents. Please do, and on Twitter at Off the Ball. Here are some of the comments. The reaction to Stephen Kenny is not an instant knee-jerk one. He's well into his tenure. We've had one or two decent performances, no decent results. He's out of his depth. He hasn't got the skill set to manage these players at this level. We've got players at this level to beat Azerbaijan and Luxembourg. Our players are all professionals at a high level. He has the players to win games at this level. He's an amateur in a professional game, says one of our texters with a harsh comment. The bizarre Stephen Kenny love and continues. I truly despair, says another of our texters. I don't agree with that. Does Kenny trying to play pep ball not just ignore the fact that Ireland has not produced a player for 20 years? Surely you make the most of what you have rather than foist a shape on players not able for it, says Aaron. An under 21 success does not ensure senior success. Kilbane, Dunn, etc. say all of it. What's been lost over the Portugal match is the influence Ronaldo like Messi have in raising the level of the opposition's game. Players focus far more intensely than they do against the Azerbaijanis, says Brian. Gavin, what do you think of all this?
You know, I was talking to two ex-footballer friends of mine on Friday night, and one of them was, you know, he played football in England for most of his career, so he's again still a bit tick about Mick McCarthy's now having the job and doesn't feel that Kenny's up to it. And that's the unresearched view of Stephen Kenny, you know what I mean? That they don't know that he's been a professional coach for what, 23-24 years. But everything me and the other guy did to convince him that he was wrong about Kenny, and that a lot of what Finney said there, that Stephen's building something from this 21s and he's taking these players forward. A lot of us sullied by the 21s players not performing for him in the senior setup last night. You know, it's very, very difficult to defend the Stephen Kenny era with a 1-1 with Azerbaijan, especially 24 hours after a 1-0 with Azerbaijan. And it's very hard to defend him when he did go with three guys whose jobs are to score goals for their clubs in England. And he went with them up front together, and it did not work. Like, he had to go back on his game plan at halftime. And that was the most disappointing aspect of it. I think the people who've made up their mind about Stephen Kenny made it up before he even came into the job anyway. So I don't think they're ever going to have their minds changed. I think there is a lot of people who sit on the fence, and I think they were a lot of them were in the crowd last night, who want to be taken somewhere with him, who want Stephen Kenny to convince them that he knows he is the man for this job for 2, 3, 4, 6 years, you know? Because having a guy who's based at home running the job is good for business. Having a guy who's got an encyclopedic knowledge of the players is good for business. The only problem is it hasn't worked. And all the successful managers have not been that in the history of Irish football. I'd love to know Vinny's view on this is, my worry was there was 30 crosses were banged in the second half, I think. And that's what we were doing to try and hunt the goal against a team that was sitting back, against a team that we know from their coach when he was at Albania is ridiculously defensively minded. And that's how he plays. You know, he sets up shop. And it's depressing that we aren't able to break that, we weren't able to break that down, and then it just became more and more desperate, and then we had to turn to you-know-who, Mr. the Derry Giant, to come on, just like we had to use Johnny Egan's head in Portugal to score goals. That's desperately worrying. Adam Ida, though, he had a chance, he had a great, one of his chances was a great chance, and Malumbi definitely should have scored his chance as well. And so, as Stephen Kenny said, if those had gone in, we'd be having a different conversation today. But they didn't, and we're not. And it just heaps the pressure on Ireland to get a result against Serbia, which is hugely difficult, because Serbia have to stay point for point with Portugal, because you don't want to finish second in a World Cup qualifier group, because there's only three spots left then. You go into a semi and a final to get to Qatar. So Serbia do feel like they're good enough to top the group ahead of Portugal, and they'll see this as a signature game.
It was Mick McCarthy stuff at the end, Stephen, with the... Kenny was employing Vinny with the crosses into the box.
Yeah, and there's no getting away from that. Ultimately, for all the stuff we're looking to change, we ended up with just a lot of crosses into the box, and Shane Duffy got his head on it. The last couple of minutes I seen at the game was remarkable. Looks like Seamus Coleman was completely empty. He basically stood high up on the right wing, and Ireland had a back two. It was strange. But yeah, so that is not a good reflection of where Stephen has taken this team. We ended up relying on a Duffy goal. I think they got it wrong last night. So I'm not in any way, shape, or form defending anything that happened last night. I just come at it a bit more of a long term view. And again, Adam Ida is a good example of it. John, you'll know this better than me. You're better at this stuff. But was it 21 games before John Aldridge scored for Ireland?
It was a lot. Was it Malta in 1989?
Yeah, but it was a long time. And
they were going to major tournaments.
Yeah, no. And I hear you, Gavin. I'm just saying that it's going to take us a while to get these players to the level that are required. The option is, if it's not Stephen Kenny, who is it, and do we rip
would it be any
ball?
Different would it be any different, Vinny? I'm looking back at there's a reason why Martin O'Neill is no longer the Irish manager. I know Roy Keane called it a disgrace on his chat with Gary Neville, and I know that Mick McCarthy, it might have been a bit unfortunate he didn't get that Slovakia game, but O'Neill and Keane, there was one goal in four games against Wales and Denmark, and in the whole of the Mick McCarthy qualification campaign, which, to be fair, we were in with a chance with against Denmark, they scored seven goals in eight games. This is down to putting the ball in the back of the net. It's the most basic thing to say, but Robbie Keane scored 68 goals. How many times did he kind of bail us out of a situation by scoring goals? And that is the issue we have. We can't put the ball in the net.
I think part of the setup of the team yesterday. So I don't give a Stephen a pass on last night. I certainly don't. I think that would be wrong of me to come on here and give him a pass. I think the setup of the team didn't help. But we haven't got someone who's regularly able to put the ball in the back of the net. They're not doing it at club level. It's not as if Stephen is starting Adam either in place of somebody else, whereas there's a real debate where someone else should be playing. So we have got issues around that position. Unfortunately, I'm left with, I don't know the answer to this other than I think we've got to, going back to a couple of points I made earlier on, I think we've got to look at this as a medium-term plan and have a balanced view of it and give someone a chance to actually change a couple of things. Because, you know, I heard Roy Keane, I thought a fascinating interview, but it did get pretty grim towards the end of the Martin O'Neill tenor. It got pretty grim in terms of our style of play. So I'm not saying it was much better last night, but certainly we're heading in a new direction and we've got to have a look at it and see where we come up. So it's a difficult one. It's a difficult one to answer fully for me. I have to be honest with you.
I tell you, the FAI, because especially their board now, which is very, very cognizant of their perilous financial situation, they don't want to get rid of Stephen Kenny, because the guy they have to pay for, if Jonathan Hill, we don't know what Jonathan Hill's views are on this. Obviously, he has to keep his cards close to his chest, but I imagine he'd be going into the British market and that's going to cost them, that'll be double.
Sorry,
them.
Gavin, just have to interrupt you there, because history has been made here at Croke Park. For the first ever time, Meath are the All-Ireland Ladies Football Champions. Cora Staunton, how did they do it?
Oh God, I don't know. They were absolutely magnificent. I'm here, but Aisling O'Reilly is here crying beside me. What a wonderful performance. Right from the start to finish, from the first minute to the last, they were absolutely amazing. How they did it was just belief, hard work, and the ultimate team performance. You know, if you were to pick out a player of the match, I don't even think I could do it, because right from Monica McGurk, who was so composed right throughout the whole game, never gave away a kick out, up to Niamh O'Sullivan, who had a stormer, scored 3 points from play but caused huge problems. Vicky Wall, I could name the first 15, and even the girls that came on. It was just unbelievable, a huge team performance. And massive credit, you know, has to go to Eamon Murray and his management team. Let's remember, these girls were intermediate champions 9 months ago. And honestly, I haven't been at a ladies' football match where, you know, I feel like I'm a fan. And, you know, it's just an absolute amazing performance. You know, huge credit to Dublin. They've been unbelievable champions, you know, for the last 4 years. But, you know, today is all about me, their performance, their teamwork, and their never say die. And I loved the way, right from the start, they went out and attacked that game and had no fear all day long. Yeah, a super performance.
Meath 1-11, Dublin 12 points, the full time score at Croke Park. Cora, we'll get to you and Aisling after 6 o'clock for a recap on that, because that was just incredible. And Eamon Murray, they're getting the congratulations in front of 40,000 people. They're going to be lifting that trophy in a very short period of time. Meath 1-11, Dublin 12 points. Meath, for the first ever time in their history, our ladies All-Ireland football champions. Congratulations to the Royals. Gavin Cumminsky, you were saying there that the FAI, I suppose, don't want to get rid of Stephen Kenny because they don't want to pay off, and they don't want to have to start this process all over again. It's in their interest, well, really, to keep him on, isn't it?
Yeah, but and Roy Barrett said this, if the results go the way they hope, if they're respectable, if they show progress, is the quote, yet he sees no reason why he wouldn't. Of course we want Stephen Kenny to be a success in Irish football. He comes from Irish football, you know. So it was as much as we all wanted and hoped Brian Kerr would be a success, and when he came in, and we hoped that he would have been rehabilitated back into the system. But we all know why that didn't happen. And this is a project that a lot of people want to succeed. But that's why last night was so damaging, you know, because they need now to see progress. Okay, so what is progress? What's progress look like with this team? I think for starters, it's a settled team now. Kenny obviously didn't believe that they got two good results against Portugal and Azerbaijan with the same team, he'd have any players left for Serbia. I'm guessing this, you know, I'm using logic to presume that he knows that he's got too many key players who are not playing regular football in England, and so he wanted to get the best out of them. And so I'm thinking that's why Hendrick and McGrath weren't on the field yesterday, or didn't even come on. I'm guessing they're either nothing in the tank, or he's just recharging their batteries for the Serbia game. And so it's always going to be a little bit of a risk when you don't have, you know, when a lot of the players you want to pick aren't playing club football. But it backfired, you know, it didn't work. So now he has to show progress. So this team, and progress is a result against Serbia. Progress is that, and that means he has to get the team right, he has to get the tactics right. And it looked like the tactics were flying in Portugal with Coleman and Doherty as wing backs coming up, with McGrath's just ability to create, you know, and especially his corner is the best example of that for Egan's goal. We're so close to being able to start talking about Ida being the man to lead us for the next 5, 6, 10 years. You know, he just needed one of those chances to go in.
And he needs to be playing club football though regularly as well, doesn't he, and scoring goals in club football regularly.
Well, Adam Ida's not going to be playing. Adam Ida needs an injury now at Norwich for him to be playing regular club football.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, it's a massive problem. Aaron Connolly hasn't got anywhere near the Brighton team, as far as I know. Parrott's playing really well in League One. And so putting them all up together, you know, was a great idea, you know. Like, if you knew something that we didn't know about how, like, they're all going to disconnect. The problem was, the positioning of them was the flaw, you know, and just Aaron Connolly's confidence. So now I don't know how well they've done for Aaron Connolly's confidence by taking him off at half time, but it had to be done. Daryl Horgan immediately showed what he should be doing. He should be playing, even though he's down in Wycombe Wanderers and in the lower leagues in England. Every time he comes on for Ireland, he does something like that. He shows an energy. And it's vital now that these names, like, I know Tommy Conlon was writing about it a couple of weeks ago, and about how nobody knows who this Irish team is anymore. And I know by the middle of the week that article was looking quite silly, and then by last night it was spot on again. So we need to get familiar with this team. You can almost pick the back five now for every big game they play if Darragh O'Shea hadn't got injured. But now they have to get a team that's regular and familiar, and you know there's going to be every successful team, you know, eight or nine of the players every time, you know, in international level, I feel. So, and that's how, to some of our parts, is that's how we're going to be a success or get back to a level of respectability, because we've lost that.
53106, you're like Fox News defending Trump. I think we get that text in every week. Vinny's bang on. Great Portugal team is built off the under-21s. Bobby the Dub, take the hit now or going nowhere. Regarding Kenny, you can analyse it all day long, but you can't win without scoring goals. We don't have anybody to do that. Other than that, we're a decent team, says Cahill. And talk of medium or long term is a grand, but that doesn't come with a free pass for the short term. There has to be a base level of acceptable results, and 1 point from six against Luxembourg and Azerbaijan as well below it. Kenny's interviews are real comical alley stuff. His supporters hiding behind words like progress and long-term is nonsense. He deserves the rest of the campaign, but he needs to start getting acceptable results. Gavin is talking sense, not more sure that many others in the media are, says Paul in Waterford. Okay, Tuesday, Vinny Perth, what does he need to do in terms of his team selection and tactics?
I think at home, it's difficult because Serbia play that sort of 3-4-3 system. So for me, I think Ireland at home, the Stephen Kenny I know would play a 4-3-3. Okay, I think whether it's Callum Robinson on one wing, whether it's a Daryl Horgan on the other wing, whatever combinations he comes up with Alan Brown and the number 10 and Adam Eder leading the line. If that means a big call at the back, so be it. But that's Seamus Coleman playing at right back, Matt Doherty playing at left back. But I think he's got to play 4-3-3. You're at home. You've got to. Why did he get the job? We'll go back to why he got the job. He got the job because of his beliefs in football, his attacking style. He took Dundalk to Zenit St. Petersburg and hit the crossbar in the 92nd minute to win the game. And he was brave in his decisions. And that's where, like, we can't go. I think I'm on the fence now, I'd like to think. But when I see Gavin making the point about him, and it's sort of, it could have been brave with starting Ovida, Conley and Troy Parrott, but then he got the plaudits for bringing on the centre half from Norwich. Help me with his pronunciation.
Amoma Madele, I think. Yes. I might be wrong.
Yeah, no, exactly. But what he done there was against Portugal, he showed what Stephen Kenny's all about. He was brave. He brought a 19-year-old on, put him on in a huge game of football, and the kid rose to the challenge. That's what we need. Football. I think that's what he needs to do between now and Tuesday, is be brave, go back to what he believes in, attacking style of football, fullbacks bombing on, his number 10 being creative, scoring goals. That's what Alan Brown can do, and I think that's his best way out of this, and that would be my message to him, not, if I had to give him one, that would be it.
What about his midfield?
We've got different combinations in terms of, like, Alan Brown in the 10, it means you've got to have two behind him. Whether we've seen Hourihan and Hendrick, at least Hourihan gives us that sort of distribution. Josh Cullen was very good away in Portugal, but in a different system, and he only had limited ball time. In terms of yesterday, I felt some of his pass, he didn't make enough forward passes for us. Again, a young lad who's finding his feet, and its time will come. We need someone to make forward and quick passes. And the people that are at the Aviva will get behind this team if we're an attack-minded team, and if we punish Serbia in the wide areas because of their shape. So for me, it could be a mixture of two or three people. We're not that strong in that number six position to dictate games, but we've got players like Hendrick, Hourihan, Malumbi, Cullen, all played or are good players at that, and we find that right combination. For me, it's Hourihan alongside, because he can become that sort of, we call it that defensive midfielder who can go from there and score goals. We've seen it with Aston Villa over the years and get forward. So he has different options in midfield. But a 4-3-3 for me, whatever way you want to do that, 4-2-3-1, all of that rubbish. But get a number 10 into the team and get wingers in and create chances. And I think, Will, to me, that's how we score. And that's how Stephen plays football, in my view.
You're right. Talent-wise, Horan should be in there. But just consistency, is I think, is a major issue. And every, when the midfield is so key, and for the first time in a long time. There's no, every single player we've talked about and mentioned there are all championship clubs, either on loan to championship clubs, except for except obviously for Jeff Hendrick, who's not getting into the Newcastle team regularly. So we have a bunch of mid-tier Premier League midfielders, and it, clearly there's a massive jump from championship to mid-tier. Otherwise, the Irish players wouldn't be struggling to get into the Aston Villas and ended up having to go to West Broms or whatever. So that's a problem that we have. We need a, yeah, and we talked earlier about Wales and Scotland, like Billy Gilmore, you know, Aaron Ramsey, these kind of guys. We don't have that at the moment, and it would be, it's something that we didn't realise how much we needed until it left, you know, until it was gone. So that we do need that. But the mid, Vinny's right, and I hope what the two lads he picks is spot on, and it works out for those three midfielders, because they need.
You can pick
the Irish defence, you understand, and you can probably pick the Irish attack, but we could be picking the Irish midfield all day here and not come up with the right guys, because nobody's playing consistently enough at a high enough level.
Well, just on your point about championship players, and look, I think if you can build a team, like Wales done it, albeit they had Gareth Bale, but if you can build a team, you can get away with championship level, or because it's not a bad level. If you look at Mitrovic, he scored two goals, was it the other day for Serbia? He's sort of the main striker. He's not playing in the Prem at the moment, or he played a lot of football championship. It doesn't have to be. Being a championship player, a regular player, is not necessarily a bad thing for Ireland where they are now, because we set the bar of Premiership players. The level in the Premiership has gone so high now, and the amount of foreign talent there, that we might have to accept that the core of our team comes from the championship. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, albeit we prefer our players playing in the Premiership.
International football teams can punch above. Greece won a Euros. Turkey and South Korea reached semi-finals of World Cup. It can happen. We played well against Portugal.
What was the common denominator, John? It was all the sum of the parts teams. Yeah. You know, they weren't relying on centre halves to score winners. You know, it wasn't 30 crosses against a team ranked 112th in the world. I'm being unbelievably negative, but it's very hard to find positive shoots because we're still so close to that performance, and it did really happen, you know.
So your team leaves aren't positive, lads.
We can have a massive change in attitude very quickly if we pull a real like a result. And Adam Ida scores a goal and we get a 1-1 draw with Serbia. There'd be no shame in that, and that would bring the Portuguese performance right back into light, and it would allow Kenny to actually move into the next 2 months. Where with actual confidence in his management and in his, and more so confidence in his players, because obviously he's not the kind of man to ever come out and criticise them, but a lot of them didn't do it for him last night.
And that's why I bring up Armenia, for argument's sake, on top of Group J. They're beating Germany. None of their players, very few of their players are playing Premiership football.
Yeah.
You know, it can be done with the right team and the right combinations, and that's why people will probably snigger at me talking about that 21s team and not allowing them. That's why the FAI needs our leadership now, allowing them to develop as a team. And we have to take, that's why I go back to medium term view of it. Albeit, Stephen's next 6 months are huge, He has to show a real change, and the results have to improve. There's no doubt about that.
You think we can?
You notice, I imagine in the next 2 years, whether it's Stephen or not, just looking at the under 21 squads, the last one that are coming into the senior team now, and the team that beat Bosnia there during the week 2-0, like Evan Ferguson's only 16. There's so much expectation of that, what he could do. But there's players that really do look like they have the potential to be top level championship, middle tier Premier League, whatever. A lot of them playing in Germany. There's talent that, if you're looking just beneath the surface, you are pretty encouraged. But that's not going to help Stephen Kenny in the next 6 months, no. But there is quality coming through in midfield where it seems like we're surely lacking at the moment.
Okay.
There is hope.
And is there hope very briefly for Tuesday, Gavin?
If I dig deep back into what happened when I was in Portugal in the stand watching that performance for 88 minutes, yes.
And Vinny, is there hope for you for Tuesday?
Yes, there is. I'm not giving up hope yet. I really hope this turns around. I think the man deserves it. He's deserved his shot. He's got to get better. Absolutely got to get better. But I hope this just turns around for him, and I hope it starts on Tuesday.
Okay, Vinny Perth, Gavin Comiskey, thanks so much for the last hour, and speak soon. Take care.
Thanks, John.
See you later.
Vinnie Perth and Gavin Kumsky there. The Dundalk manager and the Irish Times football correspondent speaking about the Republic of Ireland. Lots to digest over off the ball over the next few days on News Talk here about the Serbia game, the build-up and then the reaction to it. So much to come on OTBAM, our digital show, and then on the evening show and off the ball. So let's hope we're going to be celebrating something after Tuesday night. We're going to be back after the news because Meath are celebrating big time. Their ladies have won the All-Ireland final for the first time in their history. The footballers won 11 to 12 points over Dublin at Croke Park. They've upset the four in a row winners. We're going to reflect on it all with Cora Staunton and Aisling O'Reilly, a proud Royal, after the news. So don't go away.